What's causing all this?
Woo! Put Scooter on the phone, you bird brain.
What do you do, backflips? You jump up there in a silly suit? What do?
Yo, bam! I want you to play that.
We're up.
Oh, we're on. Okay, we're surprise. Just sitting here. Yeah, surprise. Well, good evening, everybody. Fast Freddy here for another exciting episode of Fast Freddy Rocks Youngstown, coming to you from the state-of-the-art Youngstown studios in beautiful downtown Youngstown. And with me tonight is Joe Danier, as always, and BJ Lisco from Turbo Lovers is hanging out. So we'll probably get BJ on the here on the, in the show here, get him in the mix at some point this evening, because I really don't have too much today.
Well, yeah. I have some mystery beers for you today.
Oh, you have some mystery beers. Okay.
Mystery beers.
Now, all right. I'm down with
these
mystery
beers. These are unlabeled, private collection, homebrew beers.
Okay. So all right.
You want to try some?
Yeah, we'll give it a try. Them. Yeah.
All right. Let me pour some up.
And you know what we got to do when we do our beer tasting? The next one, we just have to do a blind taste test between Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light. And we'll just have them all out there and see if there's any real, these are made by somebody.
These were made private brew.
Okay. This is private brew. This isn't like a craft brewery or anything like this. You know, years ago, I made my own beer. We did it on the radio and they used to, the place was in Struthers. It still might be there. It was called the Tap House.
Okay. Yeah. I know where that is.
And the Tap House was way, way before their time with this beer making. And I mean, the people that were making beer back then were just lunatics. You know, it was like these people, like who would even think of making their own beer when you could go buy it at the store, you know?
Right.
And we started making it and mine turned out it tasted like ham. It tasted like cloves and ham. I think it was a good breakfast beer because it tasted like ham and it had little things floating in it. And it definitely didn't turn out right.
That's so gross.
Man. It definitely didn't turn out right. And we had it in bottles and, you know, the whole nine yards. And and then when we cracked it open, it was like, oh, I can't wait to see this. And then pouring it out and it's chunky. And then something went wrong. Something went wrong. All right, Keith Sturgeon checking in. Hey, Keith, I did get your message, and we're working on a top secret project here with hopefully with Ellis Cooper. And I'm trying to get that to happen. So Keith is going to be a part of that if it goes down as planned. But, so I don't know if it's just me and I just take forever to get things done and I can't move things along, or if I just, you know, or if some of these things just take a while to get done.
You're a freaking intern. He needs to pick it up, man.
Yeah. That's what I need though, man. I really do. What I need is somebody to just do my work for me. That would be nice to have.
Right.
If I could find somebody to just do my work. Okay. Keith says it's me. You're probably right, Keith. Come on, man.
We all know you. We love you and we know you.
No, I got to get this done. We're working on something, but no, some of these things you got to jump through a lot of hoops. All right. This is some homemade beer here.
So this is Johnny Kim from White Cadillac.
Okay.
He puts this together. Lots of pride in his brew.
Uh-huh. So, well, it looks good.
Look at that.
Yeah. You know, I like the dark stout. Oh, these kind of beers. So, hey, Lori Mercer, what's up? Cheers. I think Lori's heading out to Sturgis this year for the big motorcycle rally. That is something that I want to do, and I'm not getting any younger. And it's like, I got to get out there before it's too late. And everybody just has a blast out at Sturgis. You know, it's like the granddaddy of the motorcycle rallies. It's the big one. And it's just insane out there. But another thing about Sturgis is the riding out there, you know, because you're riding through like Wyoming, I believe, and it's in North Dakota, South Dakota. You're driving, you know, you ride out to Mount Rushmore and places like that. The riding out west is really awesome. And then the parties are just incredibly crazy. So I would love to get out there. Hey, here we go, man. Mike is checking in. How you doing, Mike? How you doing?
All right, let's test it.
All right, cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Yep.
Yeah, that's decent. That's real good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you would have said that that was just something that some guy was making at home, I'd have said, yeah, you know, no, that's really good.
Heck yeah. He's onto something there.
Yeah, yeah. Very tasty. Very tasty. Now, I was talking to a few people today that are anti-craft beer. It's like they want their Miller Lite. They want their Miller High Life.
Give me my Coors.
Yeah, yeah. Give me that Coors Light, and I'm good to go. And I don't want all that bitter shit there. Hey, Barb Fox, how are you? Good to hear from Barb. Checking in.
So I don't know if this is the same. I'm going to pour this just in case.
Okay. It's well, if it isn't different, then we'll still drink it anyways. Yeah, right. this isn't going to go to waste. This is good for homemade. I would have never guessed it was homemade. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, it's definitely different.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's that looks like probably a pale ale there, an IPA. I'm going to say IPA. So, my buddy Jaybird checking in today. And Jaybird, they went out riding today, man. They put 150 miles on the bikes today.
70 degrees out.
Yeah, how about this? How about this weather, man? They went out to Foxburg. Have you ever been out to Foxburg? You got to go out there one day. It's over like on the other side of Clarion. It's on the Allegheny River. It's in the mountains. You go out through Grove City and Emmelton and out that direction. And it's like a little resort. They have a hotel and then they have like a higher end restaurant. And then they have a big deck that just overlooks the river and the mountains. And then they have like a pizza shop and a winery there. And it's like, it's really cool too, because you just come riding around there and the next thing you know, there's this in the middle of nowhere, just this little resort sitting there on the river. How cool. And it is really good. I keep telling Casey Malone, I said, you got to get out here and do a story on this because this is very cool. And maybe one of these days she'll take my advice on that.
She's really reluctant to hang out with you anymore. I don't know what's going on there.
Like, you know, she's got an image to uphold, you know, back in the old radio days, you know, she didn't really care. And, you know, she was, you know, wallowing around in the same gutter as everybody else. But now she's got a little bit of respectability to her.
Brand that she's afraid that we rode.
But you know what? Her TV show has an amazing following. I mean, sometimes I'll go out places if I was on the show, and it's amazing on how many people will talk to me about the show. Like, oh, hey, you were on the Casey Malone show, weren't you? Ooh. Or they'll ask me a question about something. I really don't know what they were talking about at first, you know, right. And I'm sure you get that. You might've said something on the radio and somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm like, out of sequence or out of context or whatever. And it takes you a second. And this one guy come up to me and I would have never thought he was like a Casey Malone show watcher. And he goes, hey, blah, 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 about those fish. And I'm thinking, okay, where could this guy? And then as the conversation went on, it was like, oh, he's talking about the Casey Malone show. And so it's kind of funny because
out of a million of hours worth of stuff that's recorded on you, that's it.
Or people say, man, Casey Malone, wow, you were on that show. You know Casey. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, you know. But she definitely got a good thing going there.
Heck yeah.
But she's I got a couple ideas for her show, but she doesn't listen to me. She don't pay attention to me. You know?
Do you think she'd ever do like a Tippy Wives episode ever again?
Yes. Yeah. We've been kicking that around. So that would be fun. Yeah, Keith said she needs to do a story on him. That would be a good story. Yeah. Yeah. And Tracy Randall making the South Side great again. What's up, Tracy? How are you? Tracy is going to be running for office here. So good luck for her. Good luck to her, nice. For her, whatever. Whatever it is. So, hey, also a sad week. We lost our buddy AC McCullough this week. And AC was just a radio icon in Youngstown for 52 years. 52 years. All the changes that guy has been through. And it's not like he was on a classic rock station or a talk station or something like that where you can age because, you know, the music's older or, you know, if you're on talk radio and you're older, you're more distinguished or whatever, you know, however you want to say that. But, you know, for him to be on a top 40 radio station for 52 years, think about how he started in 1970. So think about how the music has evolved from 1970 to what he was playing when he started to what he is playing now. And he still fit the format for being as old as he was and for being like a top 40 hits, the latest music type station. The guy was able to pull it off. And I think that's really something.
Yeah, a lot of us like grew up when we were kids listening to that as we woke up to go to school in the morning.
It's right.
Amazing. He was like our dad, you know?
Yeah. And I remember when AC first started and when he was doing weekends at WHOT. And before he was doing that, he was working part-time as a security guard at the Bilo grocery store on Midlothian Boulevard in Youngstown, right in that same plaza where the apartment was and everything, right there on the corner of Zediker and Midlothian. And I remember we would go in there and everybody be like, hey, you know who that is? That's that guy from Hot 101. Yeah, get out of here. No, that's him. Really? Yeah. And you know, it's crazy. Where the radio station is located now, you can actually see that place from the studio. I just always thought that was kind of crazy. But yeah, for him to be around that long is amazing. You know, and I was always trying to get him on the podcast too, you know, and it was like, yeah, I'll be on one of these days, blah, blah, blah. You know, nothing ever came of it, but I'm really bummed out about that now because I think he would have been a great guest. You know,
so much history in that
season. Oh yeah. But you know, he was kind of a laid back guy too. You know, I mean, some people you get in the radio business are a little more laid back and, you know, not everybody's like me and, you know, we'll pull down your pants at a bike night or something with a bottle of Jack in your hand.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, I don't see a dumping water on women at the wet t-shirt contest in Dirty Harry's in Daytona. That's another thing I'm bummed out about, man. Daytona bike rally's coming up here and I can't go. That's a bummer.
Yes, it is.
That's a real bummer. So, yeah, but it is what it is. Well, let's move on with some beer tasting here. Here we go. That's the stout. And it's very good. It's
very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready?
Let's do it.
Cheers.
You said this is probably a Pilsner.
Or an IPA, I'm going to say. Oh, we should do the Ukrainian toast. You know the Ukrainian toast?
No.
Okay. All right. So I'll go Budmo and you go, hey. And I'll go Budmo and you go, hey. And I go Budmo, Budmo, Budmo. And you go, hey, hey, hey. And then we drink. All right. You ready? Bujmo!
Hey!
Bujmo!
Hey!
Come on, you gotta get a little more. Oh. Yeah, come on, man. All right, here you go. Yeah, all right, you ready?
Yeah.
Bujmo!
Hey!
Bujmo!
Hey!
Bujmo, Bujmo, Bujmo!
Hey, hey, hey!
Hey. Hoag's, that's IPA,
yeah,
definitely.
For sure.
Hoag's is checking in. It's good, too. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's right up there with all the other stuff that that people have brought in or not brought in.
Bravery when you take an unlabeled can and down it. I love it.
Oh, that's just, you know, as Hoag says, you got to pull down your pants and slide on the ice. That's his motto. that was his motto. But he's drinking whiskey along with us. And let's see. Jay Bird said he got videos of the wet t-shirt contest at Yankee. And it got him in Facebook jail. Wow.
Really?
I don't know. You know, how do people get in Facebook jail?
I was in Facebook jail here recently.
Yeah, I saw you were in Facebook jail.
I was. I made a joke about stabbing Julius Caesar for the Ides of March, and that put me in Facebook jail.
No kidding.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear people get put in. Now, there are some people out there that I could see why they get put in Facebook jail.
Right.
It's like when I see them post something or they'll say, you know, they'll post like, hey, I just got out of Facebook jail. And then they post something. And then my response is, it's like, do you really think you're going to be out of Facebook jail much longer? And it's like, I don't know.
Well, obviously, there's some Julius Caesar sympathizers out there somewhere who really are feeling bad.
Probably, you know, they probably got, well, you know this. I don't know why I'm explaining this to you.
Go ahead, tell me about this.
They probably have some kind of electrical gizmo hooked up there.
Right, with flashing things on. Yeah, sure.
Right. That when you mention something like stabbing, and then it goes ding, 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 ding.
It's the stabbing part.
And an alarm goes off, and then it takes it like, you know. And Jay says, no boobs allowed on Facebook.
That's no fun.
Okay. I don't know what these people are doing anymore. What else was going on? I saw a funny bumper sticker coming down here. Okay. It said, I love big booty bitches.
You know? Just come out and say it. That's all.
Is it just me? Or do we have some people that just put bumper stickers on their cars in this town that just don't give a damn?
No,
you know, no. That just puts such stuff on there, on these bumper stickers, that they just slap them on the back of their cars. And, you know,
but it didn't make you laugh.
Yeah, it did.
So they're spreading happiness and joy.
I was going to take a picture of it. I wanted to take a picture of it and post it there. But yeah, I'm like, wait a minute, what does that bumper sticker say? But it was like the half of the guy's back window. And it's like, yeah, there you go.
That's right. No fear.
Or the, a lot of people have that big, the word it, and the guy's like humping the eye, you know? Yeah. You see that one a lot. The shocker.
I don't see the, F off, logo anymore.
We got to get that out. Yeah. I'm slacking. Hey, I got to say hi to my friend, Brenda. Hi, Brenda. Good to hear from you. Brenda from out there in, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So she might be our farthest away viewer tonight. I don't know. She might be our farthest away way viewer. What else do we got going on? Yeah, bumper sticker. Yeah, you see the shocker. They got the shocker out there. And I mean, some of them, though, you look and you go, I can't believe you're driving around town with that. You know, and I'm no prude or whatever. And, you know, it's just kind of like, wow.
Does your mom feel disappointment when she sees that?
Oh, man.
I got another mystery one. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
It actually has a label on it. And I don't know. Are you familiar with this brand at all?
I thought I was going to say the KGB. I was going to say, you know what? You know, we just did the Ukrainian toast and you want me to drink a beer called KGB? I don't know about that. This is the highly acclaimed KBS, a flavored stout. Well, first of all, I'm in, you all know? Right. Okay. It says here, a good for everything. Oh, is good for everything. How am I even on the radio when I can't speak and I can't read?
You just worked a 19-hour day, dude. We're gonna
I haven't. I haven't done nothing today. I've just been sitting around, you know, psyching myself out of doing anything because I have so much stuff to do. Okay. KBS, a flavored stout, is good for everything a flavored stout ought to be good for. Ale brewed with chocolate and coffee. Aged in oak bourbon barrels. Oh, this is going to be awesome. I can tell you that right now. On the back, it says, what we've got here is an imperial stout brewed with massive amounts of coffee and chocolates, then cave aged in oak bourbon barrels for an entire year to make sure wonderful bourbon undertones come through in the finish. It'll make your taste buds squeal with delight.
Look at that.
You know you got something going on when you're squealing with delight. If you're going to squeal, I hope you're squealing with delight.
That's right.
I hope you're not squealing like a pig. Nope. You know, so any
that's
squealing
a show. Any, here we do boobs and beer, not
any
pigs.
Any squealing. I hope it squeals of delight for you. No. That's gonna be my new show, Club. And may you all have squeals of delight.
The new spokesperson for KGB beer.
Hey, Ryan Smith is checking in today, all the way from Elyria, Ohio. How you doing, Ryan? Good to have you on the show here tonight. Oh, I suppose you want some.
I do.
Oh,
this
man.
Empty glass beckons you.
Okay. All right. Oh, does that look thick. Good? You want more?
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to hoard this. I'm trying to hog the whole thing.
You take the whole thing. I'm going to be doing some sipping.
Okay. You're going to be doing some sipping. And I'm going to be doing that. Cheers. Cheers. Oh, no, no, no. Bootmo.
Hey.
Bootmo.
Hey.
Bootmo, Bootmo, Bootmo.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey, ho.
Whoa, that's different.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I have a feeling that's going to be strong, too. This was bottled on October 27th of 2019. Wow. Doesn't say what the alcohol is in it. Like I've said on previous shows, that's how I go into those places that have those craft brews. I just look at the alcohol percent. Give me the strongest one you got in there. And then they just bring you this little tiny glass, like in a brandy snifter or whatever they call it. And you drink two of those and you're sitting there and you're going, woo, I'm feeling that.
Heck yeah, that you burns know. A little. Yeah, oh, this is good. That's tasty.
Yeah, that really is. Now I'm just now tasting the chocolate in it.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff there. Yeah, we might have to change the name of this show to Beer Talk. Everything we do has to revolve around drinking beer.
You successfully invented a show where you come in and you drink beer.
Yeah.
That's genius, yeah. Man.
What are we going to do tonight? I don't have a guest right now, although we're going to get BJ on a little bit too, because, okay. You know, I got a few musical things we're going to talk about, and you know, I'm sure he'll do a good job on that. He knows what he's talking about with that stuff. And I really don't all that much. What else is going on? East Palestine. What a mess, huh? Whew.
Crazy.
For a little town like that, and all of a sudden, it's like the hub of international news. And it's like the story just gets crazier and crazier every day. And the press and, you know, and then, you know, Trump and the White House and this guy and that guy. And it's insane. It's really insane.
The most shocking thing was that over like 1,500 train derailments happen across the United States every year, and you never hear anything about them. But this one makes national news.
I know. Yeah, all of a sudden, it was just like one of those. Well, you know what I think it was when they burned those chemicals off and that mushroom cloud looking thing?
Yeah.
You know, because then I actually heard people on the radio and the Fox News and this is kind of like Chernobyl. I'm like, well, listen, I know these people are bad, but it's not Chernobyl. Yeah, I mean, believe me, it's not. I can tell you that, you know. But, you know, my take on this whole thing, though, is there are a lot of trains that go across the country every single day, across the United States, across Canada. And nothing happens, you know,
right.
And it's something of this magnitude, even with any kind of chemicals, you know? So I think it's relatively safe, you know, I think knock on wood, but I think now with the way, if the press jumps on it as a story, and everybody piles on it as a story, and not to take away from anything that the people through in East Palestine are going through or whatever, but I mean, that could have happened anywhere,
for sure.
You know? And I just think that when you look at, if I was the railroad, I think I would be saying, listen, man, I mean, there's a lot of trains every day, you know, that we do this in the right way. And every once in a while, you might have something like that.
They're keeping thousands of semis off the road, and it's way safer to do train than semi.
Oh yeah. 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 You know, you got some hillbilly all popped up on some kind of goofballs driving down 80, you know, or whatever, or some of these foreigners. And I don't know, but it, you know, that's what I'm seeing about that is it just seems like when you're watching the news coverage from, like, when you're seeing what's going on out there, but you're close to it, it's in our backyard. You're kind of like, I don't know, but I haven't been down to East Palestine to take a look, but you know, of course, when you have some kind of toxic spills and people might get sick, that's the thing. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to get sick from that.
Right.
You don't know what might happen. You know, it's.
Yeah. And what can you do? You have to drink the water. You have to eat the food. I mean, it's tough.
But don't you think, though, after a point in time, that you have to look at and say, okay, there's nothing in this water. There's nothing in there. Now, I think when you got like Aaron Brockovich and those people with some of those stories, it was chemical companies dumping huge piles of shit in the thing and not saying it and trying to cover it up and just dumping all this stuff in there, as opposed to one or two train cars of this stuff.
Yeah, not even comparable.
Yeah, so I mean, how do you, you know, but do you want to really take a chance? But so where do you draw the line when you say it's safe? Do you look at it and say, okay, a year from now we tested this well every single day for a year and nothing is in there? Obviously at some point you got to say, okay, there's nothing in there,
right?
You know, if they test the soil and if they got it all out of there and you test that soil every day for a year, is a year a good amount? Is 6 months a good amount? You know, if they're not reading all these chemicals in there, you know, or is there a certain amount of hysteria that goes along with it? Or, you know, did you get exposed to enough of it, you know, at that moment? You know, who knows? Right. So it's all that unknown. I think it's more the fear of the unknown when it comes to that. But
this kind of stuff makes the best memes, though. I saw one this morning, Miss Ohio, and she had three ass cheeks. That was my favorite.
And three boobs. One of my favorites is out there and said something like, one train wreck in Ohio, and everybody on Facebook is an expert on railroads.
Yep.
But, you know, but that's the thing that's amazing about this stuff is how it just snowballs out of control. Yeah. You know, then you just start getting false information and conspiracy theories, and people that don't know what they're talking about say something, and everybody and their brother jumps on and accepts that as truth. You know, what I would like to see, and I've seen a couple, like even radio people out there, and, you know, don't sit there and speculate like, well, why didn't they look out the window of the train and see the smoke and, you know, this and that? Or this and that, you know. And then, well, they want to make it a conspiracy they weren't looking out the window, so they didn't do their job. What I would like to see is them sitting there talking to a railroad engineer, a railroad conductor. Okay, what are the procedures that you go through? What are the things? What are the rules? I mean, they have a ton of rules to run these trains. Right. It's not like you just get, there's probably a lot more rules to run a train than there is to getting an 18 wheeler.
For sure.
You know, and
like, I'm telling you, the media's though, their job is to amp up the public and get them all fired up rather than
you see it. Yeah. You see it. And then nowadays everything turns into a political football, you know. It's just like, okay, yeah, it's Biden, it's Trump, it's Trump. You know, it's like, let's worry about getting this done. Let's you know, let's let these people feel good or get some people down there. You know what, though? Even if you had the biggest scientists in the world that knew everything about chemicals, there'd still be somebody out there going, that guy's full of shit.
Exactly.
You know what? They're telling you that. They're telling you that. They want you to believe that. But I, you know, and it's like, well, how do you know? You know, you're working at whatever you're doing.
Right.
You know, you're a carpenter. You're a DJ. What the hell do you really know about this stuff that these people work with every single day?
Speaking of conspiracy theories, do you think the UFOs are coming in full force here, or do you think they're just balloons?
Well, how about the kids in Boardman? They do a science project recently today, and they're doing a balloon, and they got a GPS on it, a little camera. All I can see is that thing floating over China by accident, starting World War III, and World War III was started in Youngstown.
Youngstown. Kids. Great timing.
You know, I'm surprised. I think I'm the only one that tied in the Chinese balloon with the train wreck. I think, you know, nobody's really jumping in on my conspiracy theory about that. Shoot down the balloon and the train wrecks.
Interesting.
Yeah. How did that happen? Somebody better tell me. I want answers. Well, I happen to know. I don't need answers. I'll make up my own answers. But that's the whole thing, I think, with this social media and everything now. I mean, you know, I think we saw that really big time with COVID. And, you know, it's just like all this mumbo jumbo, just gets going out there and it just starts rolling. And it's people that really don't know what they're talking about. And then other people that don't know what they're talking about side with them. And then it kind of like makes a movement, you know, it's like, yeah. Okay, it's all the people that don't know what they're talking about this, but there's so many people that get on it. And you know, it's almost like, you know, a lot of people are saying it and they're saying it really loud, so it must be right.
See, I have a feeling half those people are like Russian or Chinese like plants that are just trying to get us all fired up.
Yeah Oh, it could be
bots even, you know.
Yeah I wouldn't doubt that. Boy, this is pretty good here, man. The Founders Brewing makes this. The KGB.
Ready for one more?
Oh, I don't know. Am I ready for another beer? Twist my arm. Okay, all right. I guess
you got
Well, this, you know what? I'm lollygagging on that. See, that's the problem. You get me down here. You sit there and drink the beer, and I'm trying to, you know.
You're work. Better at talking than
I'm
I am.
Trying to. I'm trying drinking. To work.
So this is Warlock. Now I don't know where any of these came from. Johnny Kim. The same one who gave us the whatever he recommended.
I'll tell you, this is a heavy beer. This is thick.
That's a meal right there.
Yeah, that's a thick beer right there. That's what people that like big booty bitches like this kind of beer.
And they are afraid of it.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, I'm Fast Freddy. I like big booty bitches and KBS, a full flavored stout.
Does it say where it's brewed in? What city it's in?
I think it's from Michigan.
Okay.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's some good stuff there. I like that. Oh, you know what we're going to talk about too? We're going to talk about, we're going to get into some music here. We're going to talk a little bit about Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album coming up on its 50th anniversary.
I think this would be a good BJ.
Yeah. After we drink a little bit of beer here, we'll get BJ in for the second half of the show. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about, what else did I say? It was Jay Giles' birthday. Jay Giles from the Jay Giles Band. Well, he's no longer with us. But we'll talk with him in a little bit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And I'll tell you, for a while there, the Jay Giles Band used to just rock Youngstown. They played around Northeast Ohio a million different times. So we'll get into the Jay Giles Band, and of course the big one though is Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Now, when I'm on the air, I usually don't point out how old a song is or how long ago it was that an album was released. I'm not one of these people that get on there and go, yeah, Keith Richards, he's older than dirt, you know, or yeah, we've got Cockroaches and Fred Flintstone and Keith Richards, or, you know, you don't have to sit there and remind people that the Rolling Stones are in their 70s. You don't have to sit there and remind people that a lot of our classic rock artists are in their 70s. And some of these albums came out in like 1977 or whatever. We all know when they came out, but they're timeless. So we don't really have to sit there and point out anything that's related to it. If I do it, I'll say something like, on this date in rock history or whatever. On this date in rock history, REO Speedwagon released this album in the same year that the video game Donkey Kong debuted. Donkey Kong and this song here came out at the same time, okay? Now, you're not sitting there saying, hey, this came out in 1977, and you're sitting there and some people are going, I wasn't even born in 1977, or wow, I was in 2 years out of high school in 1977. Damn, am I old? You know, you want to focus on, you know, the memories of the time that these songs bring. Right. And that's what you want to focus on. But when you sit there and you just go, oh, this song, that song, we know it's old. We know it's been around that long. We know the Beatles have been around for 60 years. 60 years. I saw a thing the other day that kind of bummed me out, and it said, well, not bummed me out, but I was actually sorry that I posted it after I did, but it hit me and it was just like one of those things I just had to hit share. It said the debut of MTV is closer to the bombing of Pearl Harbor than it is today.
Ouch.
Okay, you read that and you just go. And after I posted that and I saw some of the comments, I was like, all right, I shouldn't have sent that, because that one just, and so that's why, to get to my point where we're going with this whole thing with Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon is celebrating its 50th anniversary. That album has been out for a half a century and it still sounds freaking awesome. Yeah. And people still love it and people are still enamored by it. And it's just it's an amazing album. And it's just amazing on how that has stood the test of time. So I think with that one, that's why I don't feel too bad about saying, hey, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, because in a way it is a milestone that deserves to be celebrated. You know, that's, you know, think about it. If you were, okay, let's do the time machine thing. If you were celebrating something in 1970, that was around for 50 years, you would be celebrating something from 1920. Mm, holy crap. What in the world would you be celebrating in 1920? And think about that. Okay, that's 1970. Okay, 1970, and you're celebrating something that was 50 years ago. Think about what you would have been celebrating. The advent of radio, the advent of TV, the record player, prohibition, all this crazy ass stuff that was going on 50 years ago. But it doesn't seem like 50 years ago from today doesn't seem like it was like the Stone Age, you know, because, you know, 1920, you're talking about the end of World War One. You're talking about what, you know, cars are kind of new, dirt roads. I don't think we had telephones, coal furnaces, you know, sure. But that, you know, I wonder if you look at it, well, in practical things now, probably in our 50 years, it's been more technical things that have changed over those years. But in that 50 years, it was things like we're building highways.
Right.
We're building a television set. We're building a telephone. You know, we've got a radio, you know, color TV, things like that, you know, paved roads, the interstate highway system. And that's why it's kind of crazy. But, well, I guess that's why there's a song in there of Pink Floyd called Time, you know. But, and I was listening to the words of that song the other day. And I was just sitting there going, you know, how'd that go? You know, you missed the starting gun. Nobody told you when to run. You know, the sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older. Mm-hmm. One day older, another day closer to death. You know, mm-hmm. Just, you know.
Pink Floyd had some philosophical help in writing their songs, didn't they?
And see, that's what's really the big, yeah, indoor plumbing. That's another one, Keith Sturgeon. You're right. Yeah. Indoor plumbing. Think about that. We went from the outhouse, you know, in that period of time to indoor plumbing, you know, and now wow. What we got going from where we went in those last 50 years, it just makes your head spin, you know, but, yeah, the sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, you know.
You got a good vocals there.
I'm working on it. Yeah. Hey, you know, yeah, I'm going to have BJ give me a couple guitar lessons too, like Rama did, yeah. You know. Before you know it, by the time we're done with all this podcasting stuff, I'm going to be
a musician.
I'm going to have my own band.
Grade A musician.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But yeah, that, you know, it's I went to see that Pink Floyd tribute band Wish You Were Here. And I'll tell you what, they were at the Robbins Theater, and those guys are really, really good. I mean, they got that Pink Floyd stuff down excellent. They have a great light show. They're good musicians. They have the Pink Floyd inflatables and stuff. And I wish we should have did this, and I didn't even think about it. And with the 50th anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon, because all these old stoners have their own Dark Side of the Moon stories. You know, yeah. they all got their own, you know, from different times that Pink Floyd has played around here. Now, one of their most iconic shows that a lot of people remember is when they played at Three River Stadium back in the day when they were first coming out with Dark Side of the Moon. And, you know, you had people, taking acid and mushrooms and all that stuff. And, you know, I have people come up to me and go, yeah, and now they're all old guys, you know. It's somebody's grandfather or great-grandfather. Go, oh, I'll tell you what, dude, that was the first concert, man, and I discovered Microdot. And then when they started playing that, you know, and then they started singing, and I was like, dude, I was so out there, man, you know.
Then, those are the best stories,
you know. And then another good Pink Floyd story is when they played at Mellon Arena in Pittsburgh, the Igloo, you know. I don't know if you were ever there. And it was shaped like an igloo. It was a dome, and that was before they had PPG Arena. And I thought they were going to save that because it was such an iconic and unique building. And this was way back in the day, and they were able to open the roof. And when Pink Floyd did Dark Side of the Moon, you know, they're playing Dark Side of the Moon, and the roof was slowly opening, and that, you know, nobody was really paying attention. Then all of a sudden, when the roof completely opened, there was so much smoke in there that a huge cloud of smoke come billowing out of this arena with 20,000 people.
Damn.
And then everybody looked up and they saw the smoke go out and all the stars appeared. And there was a lot of people there that were just like, you know, dude,
connected with the universe, man.
You ain't kidding, man. So that was another really interesting one, you know, that a lot of people back in the day and that had stories about that. And when the roof opened and they looked up and it was like, wow, dude, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then another good Pink Floyd story was when they played Cleveland Stadium on the Animals tour. And that was like at the time, the biggest crowd at a concert for just one act. And I think they set the record at that time. It was like 88,000, 100,000, somewhere in that ballpark. And in true Pink Floyd fashion, how they started the show is they had their jet slowly buzz over Cleveland Stadium. Mm. And then it just took off. And then that's how the band started. But all of a sudden, this jet just came down at a real low level, real slow out of nowhere. And then it just went whoosh, and took off, and then Pink Floyd jams into the tune. Nice. And there's still a lot of people out there with that one that are still like, ain't quite right, you know. Yep. And they ended up getting fined by the FAA for that because no matter how much they had to pay,
right?
First of all, you had the biggest crowd ever at a rock show for one artist, so I'm sure that maybe that $20,000-$30,000 fine that they ended up paying was like
pyrotechnics.
They probably wrote it off. But that was another good Pink Floyd show. And then I saw them a couple of times later, you know, and I saw them at Cleveland Stadium, the old Cleveland Stadium. And then they did, because they sold out those shows. They sold out those shows so quick at the Cleveland Stadium. I think they sold out back-to-back nights at Cleveland Stadium. Now, I don't think there's any band out there ever again that will be able to do that. There is no band anywhere that will be able to sell out a stadium two nights in a row. I think those days are long gone. It's an entirely different landscape out there, and you will never see that again. But they sold out the two shows at Cleveland Stadium, and they decided that they were going to do a fan appreciation, and they were going to play a small show, and they played Richfield Coliseum. And, you know, which is 20,000 people, but it was a small show after they played two shows at Cleveland Stadium for, you know, close to 100,000 people at each show. And that was really good. But the only thing, I had a terrible Pink Floyd experience at that, because at one point I was roaming around, you know, and I'm just walking around and, you know, going to different places in the arena, you know, because Richfield Coliseum, that was one thing about there. You could walk around and stuff. And, you know, if you were lucky enough, you can get down a little closer. Or, you know, now the way they have the arena, the walkway is outside. So if you're not in that section, you're not getting in the even peek at what was going on. And that's one of the things I liked about the Richfield Coliseum, is because you could walk around there, you know, get up close, maybe get a little glimpse up close before you were ushered along or whatever. But so I'm out there walking around, and some reason I'm up in the top of the rafters, and I see the guy light the fuse and push the exploding bed down the wire to the stage. And it was kind of like, oh, I didn't want to see that. I just thought the exploding bed just come flying out of nowhere and smashed into the stage and blew up. Yeah, it was magical. And then I see the guy put it on the wire and light it and shove it down. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to see that.
They ruined the trick for you.
You know, that's why they, you know, with Disney World, you know, the characters are never allowed to be seen with their half a costume on or whatever, you know? And then when I saw that, I was kind of like, oh, wait a minute. That didn't just come out of nowhere and explode. There you go, dude. Oh, wow, man. You know, bad enough you just zip my mind with the airplane flying over. Now you this exploding bed, dude, come out of nowhere and smash. And I was tripping. And then there I am standing there. I see a guy pull out a lighter. Push it down the wire. I'm going,
ruined.
Yeah, forever. Boo. I'm sorry. Paul Mavrikas, my brother Greek, is checking in here today. Boy, did we have some adventures in our time, man. Whew. I don't know.
Did you see that Basil sold out both of his shows?
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to go. I had a biker party, and he did awesome. People love Basil around here. They really do. He's like the... what do you call it? The house comedian of Youngstown or whatever.
Comedian.
The official.
We'll have to tell him that.
Yeah. The house comedian of Youngstown.
Well, Saturday I woke up and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go see Basil tonight. So I tried to buy tickets last minute. Sold out.
Oh, you could have told Dave.
Yeah.
You could have went and seen Basil. He's like, dude, man, come on. Get me in. What are you doing, man? Yeah, he would have hooked you up. And Keith Sturton and Steve Floyd at their final tour at the Pittsburgh football field. But Dark Side of the Moon, man, that's something else. And that is, you know, when you look at how songwriting lyrics have changed at that point, then it was just beyond, you know, I mean, you were just coming off of, you know, the 50s with Elvis all shook up and everything. And the Pat Boones and stuff of the world and all that kind of stuff. And then you come into the 60s whole pop thing, even with the Beatles, I want to hold your hand and all that stuff. And all of a sudden Zeppelin and Floyd come along. Well, actually Bob Dylan got the ball rolling on. Bob Dylan changed how songs were written, you know, with starting with like a Rolling Stone. And then after that, it was like, wow, this is how you write a song. It's not like, you know, yeah, I want to hold your hand, you know, love me do, and, you know, whatever all those other, you know, songs were. And then all of a sudden, here comes Bob Dylan singing like a Rolling Stone. And the next thing you know, you have Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. And then you got Pink Floyd comes out with Dark Side of the Moon. And people are like, wow, you know, right. You know, these guys are singing a song like Time. And, you know, 5 years ago, you were a teeny bopper and, on all those other like poppy kind of songs and even Motown. And all of a sudden this stuff comes up and you're tripping on acid and shrooms and, you know, they're singing about time and greed, and money and crazy sound effects.
You know, earlier today I interviewed Nate from Wedgwood, West Side Bowl.
Uh-huh. And, oh, I wanted to get him on so bad. Yeah, that guy is such a great guy.
But what he's doing for local rock scene is pretty amazing.
Yes, he is. I can't say enough good things about him, really. Oh, you know what? Here's a good Dark Side of the Moon story. My buddy Greek, you know, just seeing him up there. This one time we went to Myrtle Beach, you know, and we went, our one buddy, his dad had one of them laid out vans from back in the day. And we drive down to Virginia Beach. I think we were probably just like just turned 21. We still might have been 20. I don't even know. So we're driving down to Virginia Beach, and we had 5 8 tracks for the trip. We had Aerosmith Toys in the Attic, Boston's first album, Dark Side of the Moon. Oh, I can't remember the other two right off the top of my head. But my one buddy was in the back of this van, and he's making out with this girl, and Dark Side of the Moon is playing. Well, he doesn't know what's going on because he's hearing all that laughter in there and like people talking in the background and doors opening and stuff. And this guy wasn't even a stoner, and it was freaking him out because he's trying to make out with this girl in the back of his van, and his tape is playing, and he's like, who's out there?
What's going on?
What the heck's there? Yeah. Shh, shh, shh. Wait, wait, wait. Did you hear that? And all of a sudden, somebody's laughing like, ha, 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 things like that. And, you know, I don't even think they finished the deal because, you know, the guy was too flipped out because he thought people were outside the van and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and people talking and, you know, so that's a funny Dark Side of the Moon story. Poor for
dude,
me.
He was just trying to get some.
BJ, why don't you jump in for a second? Let's go. We still got another beer here. Hold on. Let us finish this beer. Okay. Yeah. You come right back. Don't go too far. Yeah. We got to finish the beer tasting then. It is a highly structured show. We can't
deviate at all.
Yeah. 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 Just yeah. Not. Yeah. And yeah, we got to follow
corporate
the format.
Will be calling.
yeah. But that's one of my good Dark Side of the Moon stories. I that was just crazy. Third best selling album of all times. So what does that tell you?
Dang.
But that's another thing too. You know, we were talking about how inventions have changed and how life has changed and what has changed from like 1920 to 1970 and what has changed from 1970 to 2023.
All right, 50 years from now, is there any rock and roll?
Yeah, there'll be something out there. You know, there'll be something out there. I think there will be. I think there will be. Yeah. People need music, you know, but... Because let's face it, I mean, even with all this rap, I mean, don't you think at some point these people outgrow that and then they sit there and go, hey, you know what? Maybe they like country, or maybe all of a sudden, you know, what I see is a lot of people now come back to the classic rock because this is music, first of all, that they're familiar with through their parents, maybe their grandparents. And then after a while, you know, they were in all this rap and okay, so I mean, How far could you go into rap? Okay, now you're listening to rap and say you turn 35 years old. You turn 40 years old. Are you still sitting there going, oh, yeah, you know, bitch and hoe and, you know, and the drugs and the gang banging and all that kind of stuff. Do you still stick with that? Or do you move on to something and go, hey, you know what? That I get what that was at the time, but... You know what? Hey, they're making sense on what they're saying in this song. Or you know what? Yeah. You know what? The Eagles really makes sense to me. You know what? I could see, you know, Fleetwood Mac or Rolling Stones. Wow. That song, Beast of Burden. I like that. Or Queen, you know, hey, I see where they're going with this, you know? And so I think you're seeing that, you know, I see it all the time, actually, you know. And people say, yeah, you know, I'm a fan of this band or I'm a fan of that band because my dad used to love it and I'd drive to school and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they go through that rap stage and even like the, you know, probably the harder, newer metal and stuff like that. And I think you get to a point where there's just something about this music that draws you in because it's so good and it speaks to you. And, you know, then all of a sudden you might be 40 years old now. And all of a sudden you might hear the Eagles Take It Easy or Rolling Stones Beast of Burden or whatever, Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon. And you sit there and you go, wow, that's really cool. Yeah, I get it. You know, so I think that's something. Yeah, jump in there, BJ. Let's talk Dark Side of the Moon. We'll get your whole take on it. Oh, we didn't do the beer yet. Hold on. See, that's, you know what? That's how this show goes. That's how this show goes. We forget a lot of things here, but we always get back to the point at somewhere along the show. Well, most of it. Well, I don't know. But so what's that last one you got there, Joe?
That is Warlock.
Sounds dangerous.
Very, very dangerous.
Limited time. Oh, this is a pumpkin stout. I'm not a pumpkin fan. Are you a pumpkin fan?
Nah, not really.
Are we going to try it anyway? Or do we just, I guess we, oh, alcohol 8.6 by volume. Yeah, we do have to try it. Okay, I guess I could get by the pumpkin.
Party out here.
Yeah. You jump in. What do you got, Penguin?
Yeah, okay. I'm just dropping a Penguin City.
Yeah, and it ain't bad supporting Youngstown. I'll tell you what, I think these guys are taking off a little bit too. I think they got a good thing going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They make some good beers down there.
So, I'll try the pumpkin. I was never a pumpkin. I don't know how like pumpkin spice got big, because when I was growing up, it was all about apple cider, you know, apples in fall, you know. You carved a pumpkin, but you didn't eat a pumpkin, you know, you didn't want to, you know.
Yeah. I mean, other than pumpkin pie, I don't know what, you know, what yeah. you use a pumpkin for. You eat pumpkin seeds and pumpkin pies.
Yeah.
But everything's pumpkin flavored now. It's the
fall. Yeah. Yeah. And then they started too early too. Yeah. You know? Yeah. As soon as September rolls around. Okay. Let's bust out the pumpkin stuff. But yeah, I'll give this a try, Joe. You might want to try it. We'll give everybody a sip of this, but, you know, I'm a fan of the stout, but I don't know about the pumpkin, but I might be pleasantly surprised. This might be the thing that turns me around. Hey, so for those of you that don't know BJ, he's from the band The Turbo Lovers. So what do you guys got coming up, man? What's Turbo Lovers up to?
We kind of slowed down a little bit throughout the winter, and then there was no winter to slow down for.
Yeah.
We got a couple things coming up. We're playing in Akron on March 11th at the Empire. We're opening for a band you might remember from back in the day. Remember the band Angel?
Yeah, yeah.
We're opening for Angel. They're coming back around. That's March 11th at the Empire. The next local one we have, I think.
Yeah, they had that album White Hot. Yeah. I still remember the cover of that. Angel White Hot.
And they still got all, they still come out in all the white. They still did the whole thing. So
yeah.
So that'll be a fun one. And then the next local one we have is May 20th, we're at Westside Bowl.
Oh, okay.
With the Cheese and Whiskey Daredevils is the next one. And then a couple of things sprinkled throughout the summer, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. And Joe was, just talking about Westside Bowl a little bit ago. They really got a good scene going there, man. I can't say enough good things about them.
That's an awesome place, and it's really been cool to see. I was telling Joe this earlier, like, you know, especially in the last few months, like, it's just the attendance, they're busy pretty much every night now. Like, there's not a night where there's not, you know, like that parking lot's not pretty packed and stuff, which is great to see, because, you know, venues for a while there obviously were on shaky footing.
Yeah.
He's got such a great thing going there, and he's got so many different things there. I mean, you can bowl, you go there and eat, obviously you can drink, there's music, there's two stages, and there's all different.
Yeah,
not just one style of music either. It's everything.
Yeah, yeah, and this gives the, you know, I guess what they used to call the alternative music scene, and I use that as a you know, more like original music scene would probably be a better way to put it, you know, and it's good to see that's a place where people embrace that music, and you know. And they're showing up and supporting it in a big way. So I think that's what's really cool about that place.
Yeah,
you know?
It's mostly original bands there too, but he's done some tribute bands there too and stuff too. So like, whatever he thinks is going to work, and most everything's been working lately.
Great, you know? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. The one guy I wanted to go see there was Louis Prima Jr. That's the guy, because I remember Louis Prima growing up as a kid with Just a Gigolo, the original one, and, you know, with all that stuff that he used to play. My dad was a big Louis Prima fan, so I was kind of familiar with all his music. And then when I saw his son was out there doing a show, I was like, oh, I'd like to just go see that. And then I think they got Red Wanting Blue coming up there pretty soon, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's part of their 50th anniversary is coming up here. I think that's part of that.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Beginning of March. So yeah.
Yeah. Seeing those guys up there, they're definitely a good band. So that's good. And then of course, we got that big show coming up, the Cedars West Side. With Infidels Infidels and the Eight Balls.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a good one, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I love both of those bands. And we play with the Eight Balls. We play both those bands, but we played with the Eight Balls many times over the years, too.
And
they haven't played in a while, too. I think the last time they played, it was like a, I believe around here, it was around like a Christmas show a couple years back. They played downtown at the restaurant down there next to the hotel.
Yeah. I should give Timber a call and see if I can get those guys on here for next week. That would be a lot of fun. That would be a blast, you know.
Yeah, man, those guys. Youngstown Originals, man.
Yeah,
but you know, both those guys. That'd be a great one to, you know, to plug that show maybe.
Yeah. I should make a couple phone calls and see if we can make that happen. And you could jump in on that one too. That would be a lot of fun, man. Absolutely. We'll set up in the back room and just have a big round table.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, what do we want to go, local music, or we want to talk about Dark Side of the Moon real quick? We could save that, you know. Now, what were some of your favorite places hanging out back in the day?
For me, I got started. The first place I really played a lot was Nyabingi over on the west side. Back when I was in in college, I was like 20, 21, 22. I played a band called Helvis.
Yeah, I remember.
And so, we played there. We played there pretty often. So that was definitely sort of the hangout. And then when Nyabingi went away, it kind of became a sort of a combination between Cedars, you know, Cedars downtown, obviously, you know, that was always in the mix.
Right.
And we started doing a lot of shows at the Royal Oaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, so for a while there wasn't a lot of places to play for a long time. I mean, there was like, occasionally a place would pop up downtown, like Barley's was down there and the Plaza Cafe. It was the same building, whatever, but different owners and stuff. But
yeah.
But yeah. So, I pretty much went from Nyabingi to you know, right to debauchery at the Oaks.
right. Yeah, you know, that's one place, though. You know, you don't see a lot about the Nyabingi. You know, you should write something about the Nyabingi or something, because you never really see, like, old advertisements. You never see any old flyers, and, you know. And I just remember some, like, you know, they used to have some really cool bands there and just crazy stuff, like David Allen Coe, or they had Ron Jeremy there one time. And I remember Train played there one time.
Yeah, Train played there. Marvelous Three played there. That's Butch Walker now, who's a huge producer. I mean, it was kind of like West Side Bowl, and just it was just the music, you know, aspect of it, as far as sort of the diversity of what he had going through there.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I'm always looking to try to find. Now, was he the same guy that owned the Nyabingi in West Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that Bobby Lane always used to talk about from the Weedhawks. So yeah. those two guys were tight. So that's the same guy, and I think he still got some kind of club in Morgantown, doesn't he?
Well, no. So the guy that owned the Nyabingi, Greg Barrett, I'm not sure totally what he's up to. I know he was doing a lot of like stuff with like bike parks and that. But when he was here, and I think he's still involved in a lot of that too. But no, he's not. He doesn't own a
club. Oh, okay. So, okay.
Yeah, we let the Nyabingi kind of close down, or he kind of just shut it down. He pretty much got out of it.
He just got out of it. Yeah, because I always see Bobby Lane talking about, you know, when he played at the Nyabingi. I think he ran sound down there in Morgantown, and that was like one of his big hangouts. And I was just wondering if that was the same guy same thing.
Yeah, same thing. He just moved it up to Youngstown.
So let's go. Let's see. We can go from Morgantown to where's something comparable. How about Youngstown, Ohio? Okay.
Fun fact of the Nyabingi, I had 21st birthdays there. Like, every time it was my birthday, 21, yeah. It was like 19 and 20. And
it actually was 20. Yeah.
And he's like, you know.
Okay, you got to knock this off. Yeah, I always look up stuff, though, and there's very little out there. You know, Cedars, you see some flyers and things like that around, or, you know, some videos from the bands that played there. But it's like, you know, there's just this, like, mysterious little thing about the Nyabingi where you don't see a lot of advertisements or flyers.
I feel like it happened with the Nyabingi. Like, it was in a weird spot. Like, I see some stuff out there, but you're right. It's not as much. And I think, like, a lot of that stuff, like MySpace was really big then, but like, and I think everybody, I don't know, they upload all that stuff to MySpace and now nobody goes.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff was just sort of lost in the ether there somewhere. It's still out there, I'm sure, but yeah. But yeah, you're right. There's not like really like, I'm surprised there's not a Facebook group or something that posts whatever. And, you know, occasionally you'll see stuff pop up on other Youngstown music
videos. There's
not one sort of dedicated to that.
Yeah. And there's got to be like some hardcore folks out there that were there, you know, that's my main hang, and that could really just talk about, yeah, this band, that band. Oh, I remember when this guy, or, you know, because, and to me, the Nyabingi is just a blur, you know, it's just out there and, you know.
And yeah, well, a lot of those people, that were that did hang out there a lot, you know, there's a good handful of no regulars that are over West Side Bowl now.
Yeah. That would be the natural progression as you went through. Well, it's probably the Penguin Pub, Cedars, then Nyabingi, then the Royal Oaks, and now I guess the West Side Bowl.
Right.
You
know?
You know, you walk into some of these places and you still see some of these cats and you're just going, oh, look who's here, you know. Hey, Joe, you going to try this pumpkin stout here or what, man? Or you, what do you do, back out?
I don't know.
Yeah, there were some good times, man, in Youngstown, you know, back in the day, you know. And there still are, though. You know, you got the West Side Bowl and, you know, I mean, everything, you know. But I really do think that things in general are coming back now, you know, for after COVID. The ramifications from that have just been so long lasting. And I think we're just now finally starting to get back. Even like, you know, if I do my NASCAR parties or something, or a, you know, Brown Steelers party at the Ice House or someplace, as opposed to what it was a year ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years when it was still like shaky and you had to wear a mask and stuff. Now I think people are getting back out and getting in the groove again. And, you know, I think that's really good. And, you know, it's a good sign. And you see places like, you know, West Side Bowl doing good. What do you think there, man?
Decent.
You're like, okay, let me, you know what, before I even taste it, I bet it kind of has a nutmeggy, cinnamony,
exactly
one of those. Yeah, you want to take a little taste of that? Go ahead.
We'll give it a whirl.
Yeah.
The warlock, huh?
Yeah, the warlock.
The warlock would not be eating pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
Tastes like it's like a cookie.
I like nutmeg or
it's like a ginger snap.
A little bit of ginger in there. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
It's okay. Any of those ones like that, like the pumpkin ones are like the real flavored ones.
Yeah.
One of them. And then it's not like a beer you drink a whole
Yeah. Time. No, this is when you're sitting there and going, hey, you know what? I'll give that a try. Southern Tier Brewing Company, Lakewood, New York. They don't have a big story like that other one. But like I say, the thing that I would look at that is 8.6. And then I would say, you know what? That seems like the one for me. So how about you? What's your take on Dark Side of the Moon? You got any Dark Side of the Moon story, or as music critic, music writer?
Pink Floyd was one of those bands that I never got into. Like, it was not nothing against Pink Floyd or whatever, but there's just one that went over my head. The one thing I did see recently about Pink Floyd, did you see all the people getting angry over, they put out a logo for like the 50th anniversary of it? And speaking of more outrage, where there was a rain, it's the rainbow from the album, and they thought
they were putting out, you know, like LGBT people are so stupid. I just want to say this, you know. Yeah, I don't know if Joe, you know, the prism, you know, the rainbow through the prism is the whole thing of the whole Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon, you know. And when they come out with the new logo for the 50th anniversary, you know, these people, that's it. I'm done with Pink Floyd. They're going woke. If they're going to ram that down my throat, they could kiss my ass, you know? And it's like, no, dude, that's like the Pink Floyd album, and it has the rainbow coming out of the prism. And, oh, never mind. That was something. But you know what? I get it. You know, Pink Floyd, there are some people, especially younger people, that are, you know, who's not a big fan of Pink Floyd? I'll tell you, our buddy Louie at the Oaks. Yeah. Whenever I DJ at the Oaks, the strict rule is you can pull down your pants, you can do just about anything you want to do, but you do not play Pink Floyd.
You know, loves Jethro Tull, though. He's a huge Jethro Tull fan, which is like, yeah. I mean, not that they're, but it doesn't seem like it's that far off. It seems like if you really like Jethro Tull, that you wouldn't like hate Pink Floyd so much.
Yeah, and him and Johnny are both Yes fans too. They love Yes, but you don't like Pink Floyd. How do you, you know, where do you draw that line?
I started with AC/DC, and so everything was kind of an offshoot of that. So I probably started like heavier and harder than. So when Pink Floyd came around, it wasn't that I just never really got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Classic rock bands, like
Right. Okay. And then, like you say, when you, it depends on where you get in at. Okay. Yeah. So if you started out with, you know, AC/DC, then, you know, and you're going to go in that direction. It's understandable.
Yeah.
And you know what? And that's one thing with me. Everybody likes what you want to like. You know what? I don't care if you like the Backstreet Boys. I don't care what you like. If it makes you happy, listen to it all day. You know what I mean? Right. Who am I to tell you what you should like or what makes you happy? You know, I don't care. You don't like it.
It is pretty crazy, you know, though. I mean, you're talking 50 years of Pink Floyd, or, you know, Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, you know, AC/DC has been around for almost 50 years now, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, they're coming up, I think. So there's a lot of those, you know, bands that have been around that long where you're like, man, I can't believe that. Back in Black's over 40 years old now already.
Yeah, like, well, you know what? And I know from a radio standpoint, we are going to be doing that more, you know, getting back to some of that old school stuff of, you know, playing the whole album. We're going to play Dark Side of the Moon in its entirety. You know, before that used to be a staple, you know, on album rock stations back in the day. But a little known fact is now with ASCAP and BMI and some of the licensing rules, you're not allowed to do that anymore. You're actually not even allowed to play, I think, 3 cuts from the same album in the same hour on the radio. Of the licensing, you know. Wow. It's some kind of crazy licensing rule, because I think the thought behind that is so, you know, people go out and buy the album or whatever. But yeah, I mean, and I think it's like you can only play 2 songs back to back. And like, say, if you do a block party weekend where you're playing 3 songs, you got to play 2 from one album and 1 from another album.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is. And that's something that the artists and the music business companies lobbied for and came in. But that used to be a thing all the time, you know, the midnight album on some stations, or, you know, the perfect album side or things like that.
I remember, as a kid, to be here in, you know, a new AC/DC album, they play the whole thing.
And yeah.
We're going to play the whole thing at midnight, or the whole thing, whatever. And it was it was like, awesome. Check us out.
Yeah.
I hear it before, because it wasn't like you didn't have the internet then. You know, there was no leaks before. So it's like, you know, if you wanted to hear anything earlier, you know, or on the day that even it came out ever. Yeah.
Yeah. And for us, that's why, you know, for us to play Dark Side of the Moon in its entirety, we had to get legal permission from the band's management to do that, you know?
Wild.
But then, you know, they seem pretty fired up about it. And I think a lot of these bands are going to do more of that, you know. Well, Van Halen's first album celebrated an anniversary this past week, or a couple weeks ago, too. And that would have been another good one to play in its entirety, you know. I think if you get some of those, you know, the Who's Next, or some of these albums that are, you know, just so iconic and not many clunkers or no clunkers, you know, Back in Black, you know. I mean, you could play, well, you could probably play Black and Back in Black every day in its entirety and nobody would complain, you know. But, or, you know, Zeppelin 4, any Zeppelin album you could probably do it with. So hopefully we're going to get back to that and see more of this if we, you know, you can get the clearance. But, you know, you brought up AC/DC. This week was also the anniversary of the death of Bon Scott, February 19th. And I got 2 good Bon Scott stories. One, I was at that World Series of Rock concert in Cleveland. And this was like an iconic concert in Northeast Ohio. And I know a lot of people that are my age that were there to this day. It's like, I can't believe this. It was like, it was really unbelievable. It was Thin Lizzy, Scorpions, AC/DC with Bon Scott, Journey at their absolute peak, Aerosmith at their absolute lowest breaking up, and Ted Nugent at his like double live gonzo wildest. And it was the first gig that the Scorpions ever played in the United States. They just came from Germany. Next thing you know, they get on this bill and there they are in Cleveland Stadium, 80,000 plus people. And that's the first gig they play in America.
Wow.
And then that was Phil Lynott's last gig, you know, because he passed away not too long after that. Bon Scott, that was also his, you know, one of his final gigs. And they were so good too, you know. And
That band was sort of just a beast. Back in the day. And you know, Bon Scott's funny. My friend wrote a book on Bon Scott. It's called Bon the Last Highway, and it chronicles his last 3 years. You know, in AC/DC, and the book is kind of, it's sort of controversial, like because he goes into like how Vaughn really died, and it wasn't, you know, he didn't die. Basically, like the tale is, he got real drunk and he fell asleep and he choked on his vomit. Well, he did fall asleep and choke on his own vomit, but he'd also done heroin the night that as well too. You know, my buddy Jesse Finker with this book, you know, corroborated with a lot of different people that it happened, including one of the people was Paul Chapman, UFO, was there with him on the last night. Like, but he had so many different sources. But it's a great book. But yeah, like, you know, Bond was living hard there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Year and a half of his life. He was really.
Oh, but that show was so good. You know, and this was before like wireless guitars and stuff. And Angus is playing on Bond's shoulders out in the middle of this sea of people and everything. And I mean, they were really just so freaking good. There's a, you know, if you look it up on YouTube, there's videos of that out there. And, then Journey come out, and this was like they were just at their peak. They were still peaking. They still had Greg Raleigh and Steve Perry together and stuff, and you know, they were doing Any Way You Want It and all those songs, and it was just so great. And then Aerosmith comes up and they're just all messed up, and they ended up breaking up. You know, some of the guys in the band, their girlfriends had a big brawl, and after that show they didn't talk to each other for years. They left Cleveland Stadium, and that was it. And then Ted come out, man, and that's when Double Live Gonzo was like the number one album. And I'll tell you, he was doing them all: Wang Dang, Sweet Poontang, and Great White Buffalo, and you know, all those songs, and Stranglehold, and you know, he just blew everybody away. And it was kind of crazy because the day started out, it looked like it was going to rain, but it didn't. There might have been a little drizzle and stuff, and it would just seem like miraculously, when Ted hit the stage, the clouds just went away, and it was blue skies, and everybody was just going nuts. But yeah, seeing AC/DC there, and then I think I told you this one before. AC/DC played at the Tomorrow Club in downtown Youngstown, down the street, and they only played like about six songs. And
were they opening for somebody?
Yeah, Mink DeVille. Okay. I'll never forget this. They opened for Mink DeVille, and they come out and they played about six songs. And then Mink DeVille come out, and they were trying to play, and people were just chanting AC/DC and get off the stage. And it was a rough night for them. I think any other night they played there, nobody would even gave a shit, you know. But I'm willing to bet that AC/DC never opened for Mink DeVille again after that, because they couldn't even play the whole rest of the night, you know. And if they'd stop and talk between songs, and get AC/DC back, and I'd be AC/DC, AC/DC, you know. And he's getting pissed, and you know. But he's like one of those CBGB guys, and you know, from over. But yeah, like I say, any other day he would have been welcome down there. But man, after that, but just to see those guys come into a little place like that and just completely just blow the whole place away, you know, six songs and walk out, and man, I mean, you knew they were going somewhere.
Yeah, I wish I could have, you know, I wish I was around then.
You know, that's why, you know what, some people bitch about cameras and videos and stuff like that. You know, I'm on the fence on some of that, because sometimes now I look back at so many of these memories and stuff, and I go, man, I wish I would have had a camera then, or boy, if I just had a little video clip of, you know, of that. Can you imagine if you had a video clip of AC/DC in 1976, maybe 77 in Youngstown at the Tomorrow Club? You know, it's just like when Kiss played there. I still see, you know, every once in a while somebody will come across a picture they took with some kind of a Kodak camera or something of Kiss, like at the Tomorrow Club, with, you know, just a Kiss sign and them guys like kind of in their makeup, and you know, but it doesn't kind of look like it does now. And you look at that and you go, man, to see that.
There's new videos of videos from Kiss right when they started. I know there's one from Cleveland, I believe, and there might be a Youngstown one in there too, but where it's them playing and it's before they've caught on yet. Like it's literally like their first kind of US tour, but it's fascinating to see, and they're playing to like 20 people. People are like really getting into it, but you can just see them, you know, it's just so cool to see them at that point. It's like,
yeah, you know, like, and it's like, yeah, like 10 dudes in jean jackets standing with their arms crossed looking at them, you know. Yeah,
right. So, you know, it kind of warms my heart a little bit, you know, being a little bit. Oh, man, even Kiss went
I love that kind of stuff. You know, when you see these guys start, it's just like everybody else, you know, I mean, that's what, you know, it's, and it, that's why the thing about the music business and what you do and stuff, everybody got a shot. You just never know, you know, you just never know.
Yeah. It's just fun, man. But yeah, like you were saying to, I do. I go down YouTube rabbit holes all the time with various stuff. And it's like, you just find, it's just cool to see this whole live footage of stuff. And sometimes I'll get on a Kiss bender with that, or an AC/DC bender. I went on an Eddie Money bender. I did a Survivor one in Jimmy James recently, because, you know, he passed away, you know, a handful of years ago. But like, it's like, man, you know, but yeah, it's cool that that stuff's out there.
Yeah. You know, that's, well, obviously now you're finding out why I never get my work done. Now you're finding out why, like, in 7-8 hours, I get like 3 hours of work done. And then, you know, and that's one of the reasons YouTube and the internet kills me. And now I'm like, I'm addicted to just those little 30-second videos, and I could just go through those. And they, you know what, they got those edited so good. And I don't know, for on my phone, some of the stuff, these are shows I never watched, but they look pretty good. Like Justified seems like it's a really good show that comes up on my phone all the time. Tulsa with Sylvester Stallone, that looks like a really good show. You know, Breaking Bad, I've never seen Breaking Bad, but I see little clips on there. Boardwalk Empire is another one that these clips come up, man. I'm watching these shows, and it's like, not that I have anything against TV. I'm not like one of these anti, I just don't have time to sit down and, you know, and do that. You know, I just, I'm out somewhere, or I'm, you know, I work the night shift. That's my problem too, man. You know, I'm just been so used to starting work at like 3 o'clock. Well, you know, my whole 12 noon to midnight thing. I'm not even going to get into that right now, but it all makes sense when you think about it. I think there's a lot of people that would, let's see here. What does Jay Bird say? If we had the technology, then okay. The concerts and bands we would have caught in Youngstown alone. Oh yeah. Yeah. I would just love to see, you know, some of them clips from back in the day. I mean, the bands that I saw at the Tomorrow Club, you know, Judas Priest and Journey and Pat Benatar and Todd Rundgren and Bebop Deluxe. And
did you see Eddie Money coming up back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Eddie was, I love Eddie Money, and I got to interview him a handful of times over the years. It was always hilarious and stuff too. And I'm, you know, just a, what a personality, but yeah, yes. Sure. Back in the day, it was the same way.
You know? Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't you love Eddie Money? How could you not love that guy? He's just like a goofball, but he's a lovable goofball. Yeah. You know, when he had that stroke and OD and stuff, you know, it never really, I don't think he ever really recovered 100% from that, right, know, but yeah, he was a nut, man.
I saw him do a show. He did one here, and you might have been there too. He did one at the Warren Amphitheater, and it was kind of still in the day, and it was like, not, you know, it wasn't special. It was like, I saw him a year later at the House of Blues in Cleveland, and like, you could tell he was, you know, he was jazzed up a little bit. Like, it was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. He was just so on it. His band was on it. It was like, oh, this was, it was just, it was incredible. It was like, you know, but yeah, once he, I know he said he was sober.
It's just a good guy. It just, like I say though, he's always a nut, you know. And he'd always, whenever he'd play around here, he'd always say hi to me and Smoking Bill. And he would always say hi, and he'd always say, yeah, I used to date a girl from Youngstown. She might be here tonight, I don't know. But probably though, I gotta tell you, one of the best broadcasts, or one of my most memorable broadcasts that I ever did, is when Eddie Money played at Stamp Auditorium, and that's when Kid Leo just got off the air and started working for Columbia Records, and so he was taking Eddie around all over the place and everything. And we did this I did my show backstage from Stamp Auditorium, and there was maybe about 20 people in there, and it was me and Eddie Money and Kid Leo just sitting at this table, and everybody was just gathered around us, you know, and people are just like smoking cigarettes and stuff. And, you know, it was like the closest that I ever came to like the glory days of WMMS. Mm-hmm. It was Friday afternoon and Kid Leo's just going to town and the Money Man's just saying all his crazy stuff. And we're talking about the Browns and everything. And I'll tell you what, people, see, that was one. It's like, boy, if somebody would have even had a camera,
right.
A camera. If I'll tell you what, if somebody had a 5-minute video clip of that, to this day, I would be like, you know, wow. But, you know, some people say, hey, they're talking there. What are you? Stand back and enjoy the moment and, you know, soak it in or whatever. I'm sitting there going, nah, bullshit, man. I wish I had a video of that. You know, I'd watch it all the time. But, you know, yeah, Eddie Money was just like a down to earth type guy, you know. And like I say, like you could tell he was a little goofy from the stroke. He never recovered.
I interviewed him a handful of times, and what was always fascinating to me about Eddie Money was he remembered you every time. BJ, and like he would immediately go to like, so we talked about golf, or like he would tell you what you talked about the last time if you went. And it was like,
yeah,
I was like, how do you remember this? You got to do hundreds of interviews, you know, like you're doing interviews all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's one of those guys that could he could remember you.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've interviewed people that didn't even remember you. You even talked to them before.
Right.
You know, probably ask him the same questions, you know, right. And like, okay, well, you know, and they right. They haven't a clue. Well, because their life, you know, they just go about that in their day, you know. So some people. So who are some of the other people that you enjoyed interviewing, or you know, who are some really good interviews? Or
oh man, yeah, I got to interview, thousands of, you know, whether it was musicians or comedians. I think my favorite interviews were comics, like stand-up comics. I've seen you at, you know, at stand-up comedy shows and stuff around too, but. Yeah, I love talking to comics, man. Like, you know, Doug Stanhope was amazing to talk to. Lisa Lampanelli was hilarious.
Oh, that had to be funny.
You know, every time Jim Florentine's always a great guy. He comes around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The number, you know, a number of times. Off the top of my head, I mean, Bill Maher was really a nice guy to talk to. Like, he was a really fascinating interview, and just talking about comedy and stuff was great. But there's been a lot on the. On the music side of things, I mean, Gene Simmons was super respectful and very entertaining to talk to as well, you know. And then just anybody else that I really, if I really liked the band, it was just a pleasure to be able to
interview
them and stuff.
Yeah,
whether
yeah.
It was, you know, the guys from Anthrax, or whether it was, you know, but just anybody along those lines.
Yeah, people could say what they want about Gene Simmons. I think he's one of the coolest guys out there. You know, when we had him years ago, we had this promotion where you could win lunch with Kiss. Mm-hmm. And so it was him and Paul. And this was when we were still at when the Magic Twanger was still a bar, and we had it in the upstairs at the Magic Twanger. And I mean, they came to our radio station back in the woods off of Webb Road in this little cement block building. And of course they're in there, you know, and Gene's grabbing Casey Malone's ass and every woman had come by and he's groping them all and everything, you know. And, but so, you know, and they, you know, they come out, you know, and they hung out with all the winners and everything. And, you know, just talking to everybody. And then at the end, there was a bunch of people that knew that they were there and they were outside. They went out there and talked to every single person, signed everything, took pictures with every single person. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, you know what? These guys are really cool. You know?
You know, some of the more polarizing guys I found, I mean, were like the best interviews, or were very nice. Like Ted Nugent couldn't have been nicer to me.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and I know he's super polarizing,
right.
But he was super nice to, you know, as well. And just, yeah. Like, so some of the guys that, you know, that people get a bad rap for whatever reason, it's like, well, if you actually talk to them or listen, you know, I get sometimes maybe they're, you know, they might be saying stuff outrageous here.
Yeah.
Know,
yeah.
If they're talking politics or stuff like that, but yeah, just talking to them though, like, you know, it's always an entertaining chat.
Yeah, that was funny with Ted Nugent, you know. Well, because you know, when you sometimes you book these interviews and they go, well, you know, you got 5 minutes or you got 15 or you got this. I remember with Ted Nugent, it would be like they would tell you, well, Ted wants at least 20 minutes to start. You know, if you're not going to talk to him for at least 20 minutes. And I remember we had Ted at the grand opening of Gander Mountain when it opened. And I'll tell you what, he just went off. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, and then he jumped up. He's all decked out in camo. And then he goes out in the parking lot and he jumps into the bed of this big jacked up 4x4. And he starts going off on, you know, about guns and stuff. I got to admit, I was standing there. I was patting myself going, I better go in there and get a fucking gun. What am I doing here? You know, but then on the other hand, there's probably a video out there somewhere. I know I posted it one time, but I haven't been able to see it on there or whatever. But he started talking about the history of rock and roll in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And it was so good and so fascinating. It was amazing. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Dad, why don't you just stick to talking to this stuff, mm-hmm. man? Because it was just, you know, and he's talking about, you know, MC5 and, yeah, you know, and then, hey, you know, we, you know, me and the MC5, and I joined those guys over here and over on so-and-so street and would be in so-and-so's basement. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then we were playing this place and then somebody else comes into the mix and, you know, and on this one street, it'd be Bob Seger was down there. And he just goes through this whole history of Detroit rock, and it was just like, dude, this is, you know, here's the, you know, this is, you know, this is the Motor City Madman here, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a definitely a historian of Detroit as well, but it's just a rock and roll.
Oh yeah,
the origins of it, yeah, in general, man.
And yeah. he is so articulate. That's another thing, though, is sometimes if you agree with him or disagree with him, the way he talks, to me, that has a lot to do with it too. You know, I was never a fan of Rush Limbaugh, but sometimes if you would listen to the way that these guys present themselves and the way that they mm-hmm. communicate and stuff, you got to look at that and go, you know what, though, this guy, you know, there's something to him, you know? Yeah,
there's some people that are just entertaining to listen to. Yeah. Talk. They're just good at it, you know? But Ted Nugent is absolutely one of them.
Yep. Well, listen, I think we're about time to wrap things up here. I think it is. Well, listen, BJ, we'll get you back on since you're working down here with Joe. And boy, yeah, hopefully, you know, I'm going to get in touch with Timber and maybe Pete Revere and stuff. And maybe if we could pull something off for next week, or even if you could help me out,
sure.
If you could help me, we'll get those guys down here and we'll go in the back room. We got the back room set up, Joe. We could do and we'll just have a big powwow with the infidels and the eight balls. And I'll tell you, we could have some really good times.
Sure, at least get a few of them down here, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, sure, yeah. Would you help me with that if you could? Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, spread the word next week, 7:30, and we'll see who we can get down here. Okay.
I'm sure we get at least a couple of them.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. All right. Well, listen, BJ Lisco from Turbo Lovers, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, man. The warlock is creeping up on me. I think the warlock cast a spell on me right there. But so that's what we got going on. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon at 3 on Y103. Joe Danier, thank you again. BJ Lisco, thanks for hanging out for a little bit. And everybody, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back here next Thursday. And bring beer, Joe. Bring beer.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate